Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. The Steelers are no longer the only team with six Lombardi trophies. The New England Patriots joined them on Sunday, winning 13-3. I'm not going to belabor that point too much. I know you guys don't want to hear about the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. I certainly don't want to talk about it. It was a crappy Super Bowl, and it ends in a really crappy way with the Patriots winning another trophy. And the Steelers and Patriots now tied for six Lombardi trophies. The amazing thing is that the Brady and Belichick have done this pretty much single-handedly over the past 18 years together, going all the way back to 2001, beating the Rams in that Super Bowl against Kurt Warner, and they've won six since then. So an incredible dynasty for them, and it just, you know, it feels like it will never end. We'll be watching the Patriots in the Super Bowl, you know, for the next 10, 20 years. Who knows how long this will go? It doesn't seem to be any end in sight. Today on the show, we'll talk about the Alan Faneca Hall of Fame situation. He was not elected into the Hall of Fame again. 4 years as a finalist now. Still no Hall of Fame induction for Alan Faneca. We'll talk about that today. We'll also talk about the Le'Veon Bell transition tag and whether or not the Steelers plan on applying the transition tag to Le'Veon Bell. And then we'll also talk about the AB situation and some of the recent happenings there. Not good for Antonio Brown. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure you get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit the like button on the Facebook page. Make sure you also join the Facebook group. And you can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. And let's start with that Alan Faneca situation. Alan Faneca not elected to the Hall of Fame for the fourth consecutive year that he's been a finalist. Been a finalist for 4 years in a row, did not make it. I felt like he had a good chance this year. There's some good offensive line talent that's kind of waiting in the wings. You got Steve Hutchinson waiting there. You had Kevin Mawai waiting there. Tony Boselli and Alan Faneca. Four very good offensive linemen. This is the thing about the Hall of Fame debate that gets to be a little silly, is we talk about those four players, right? We're talking about four borderline Hall of Famers at worst, and at best four future Hall of Famers. And so, you know, you're debating the merits of one Hall of Famer's career versus another. It gets to be a little bit of silly season in my eyes. This year, the Hall of Fame went with Kevin Mawai, the former guard center for the Seahawks, Jets, and I believe he finished his career with the Tennessee Titans. Kevin Mawai was a fantastic interior lineman. There's no doubting that. That's why, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, how can you put in Mawai before Alan Faneca? You know, it's somewhat apples and oranges here. You compare their careers, Alan Faneca and Kevin Mawai, and there's not a real separator there, right? Alan Faneca went to 9 Pro Bowls. He was elected to the All-Pro team 6 times. Kevin Mawai went to 8 Pro Bowls, was elected to the All-Pro team 7 times. So, you know, these two guys had fantastic careers. Look, Alan Faneca was one of the best guards the Steelers have ever had. Maybe the best guard the Steelers have ever had. The best interior lineman. You know, right up there with Dermoti Dawson and some of those guys that played on the 70s teams back in the day. You know, he was fantastic. Mike Webster and the like. You know, he's fantastic. Alan Faneca is a future Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about that. The only question is when. And I think 2020 seems like a more likely spot for Faneca at this point. Now that he didn't make it this year, that there was a real opening for an offensive lineman to make it this year. One did. It was Kevin Mawai. Again, as I said, you still got Steve Hutchinson waiting out there, who I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. Tony Boselli, I know people are putting down his career because of the lack of just total games that he played. But I think Tony Boselli, you know, look, if Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame, Tony Boselli absolutely belongs in the Hall of Fame. Those guys are both still waiting. They were both finalists this year. 2020 seems like a likely landing spot for maybe all three. You know, you look at next year and kind of what you have to do every year as you evaluate who's going to make the Hall of Fame, or which of these guys that are kind of waiting in the wings, which of those guys are going to make it, is you have to look at how many guys are coming in that are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. And in 2020, there's really only one guy, and that's Troy Polamalu, who will be, without a doubt, a first ballot Hall of Famer in 2020. Other than that, you're going to have some of these finalists who are really going to have a chance to put their name in. I think Alan Faneca does make it. There's no debating that Alan Faneca had a Hall of Fame career. Of course he did. The question is when is the right time to put him in? And I think in that way, we won't have long to wait now. I know 5 years of Alan Faneca being a finalist is going to be, it feels like too long, right? It feels like in some ways somewhat of a slap in the face to a guy who had a true Hall of Fame career. But in the end, this 5 years of waiting is only going to make it sweeter for Alan Faneca when he does make it in. And it'll be nice next year. The Steelers will get two members of the Hall of Fame. They'll have both Troy Polamalu and Alan Faneca. That'll likely happen next year in 2020. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the Steelers still intend on placing the transition tag on Le'Veon Bell this offseason. We had heard this midseason. We had heard this from Le'Veon Bell midseason. Remember, back when he talked to ESPN right before the trade deadline, saying that he wanted to come back and all that, and he was planning on coming back. And this was right around the bye week. He said that the Steelers told him during the whole contract negotiations back in July and even before that, that they had planned on placing the transition tag on him next offseason, and that was something that they wanted to do in order to keep him around. Now, that was back when everyone had assumed that whether or not a deal got done, Le'Veon would actually play out the 2018 season as his final year on the Steelers, that second franchise tag. He did not, right? And that's before the Steelers knew how good James Conner was going to be in that starting role. So, you know, did things change between then and now? Clearly they have not, according to Adam Schefter, who is saying the Steelers still are going to put the transition tag, or still are planning to put the transition tag on Le'Veon Bell this offseason. That'll cost the Steelers $15 million to put the transition tag on him. But it doesn't get them exclusive rights to anything. It just gives them the right of first refusal on the contract. It does hold up $15 million on the cap. And it does take away that compensation the Steelers would get in 2020. Remember, one of the things we've talked about all year is that if the Steelers just let Le'Veon Bell go this offseason, they're not going to get nothing for that. Right? They will still get that 2020 pick, a compensatory pick in 2020. In all likelihood, it'll be a third-round pick. But the one thing you have to consider here with that third-round pick in 2020 is that that would assume that the Steelers do what they always do in free agency, which is very little to nothing, right? Sign kind of mid-tier free agents. If you lose a big-name free agent like Le'Veon, and you don't replace him with another big-name free agent of your own, right? The idea here with the compensatory picks is that if you lose a free agent and are unable to replace him in free agency with another comparable guy, then the NFL will reward you with some sort of compensatory pick. But if the Steelers do plan on this offseason making a big splash, then the transition tag for Le'Veon Bell makes a little bit of sense. In that way, I can see where they're coming from. Because otherwise, I really don't understand why they would try to tie up this cap room again and, you know, try to make a trade for him somewhere. What are you going to get for him? I get, you know, they could get a 2019 pick. If the idea here is place the transition tag on Le'Veon, trade him for a third round pick in 2019. That's a better pick than you're going to get in 2020, right? Because it's a year earlier. That guy can have an impact earlier in his career. I get that. But, you know, you're holding up $15 million of cap space. And that's a lot of cap space to hold up while you wait to work out this trade whenever that is. Now, the Steelers are going to have right around $25 million, depending on how, you know, where the salary cap lands, and not necessarily where the salary cap lands, but where they land as far as renegotiating some of these deals. Joe Hayden in the last year of his deal, $10 million out there. Of course, we've talked about Bud Dupree and the $9 million there. If they can get those numbers down, even the Ben Roethlisberger number, if they can get those numbers down, they can open up some more cap space for themselves. But again, $15 million holding that against them for a little while, it seems kind of silly, but if they can get a pick for it, I understand where they're coming from. And as I said, letting him go in free agency and then going out and signing one of these big-name free agents, especially if they go out and get a big-name defensive free agent, well, the NFL is going to look at that and say, look, if you went out and got, let's throw a name out there, let's say D Ford, right? Let's say they went out and spent a bunch of money on D Ford as an edge rusher. And now you've lost Le'Veon Bell, but you've replaced him with D Ford. The NFL might say something like, look, you know, it's not a one-for-one comparison, but you did replace him with another high-tier free agent, especially if the Steelers end up paying D Ford a bunch of money. They may just say that's a wash, or they may say that turns your third-round pick into a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick. And so the Steelers, if they could trade him instead, you know, that's a better deal, especially if they get like a third-round pick for Le'Veon. That's a much better deal for them in the long run. So I understand where the Steelers are coming from with this deal. I expect that transition tag will happen sometime in the next couple weeks. I think the deadline for that is actually a couple weeks from now. So expect to see the Steelers, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, expect to see the Steelers apply the transition tag to Le'Veon. And then finally, here are a couple reports about Antonio Brown. The first comes from Jason Lockonfora of CBS Sports. Lockonfora, not the most accurate reporter, so take this with a grain of salt. Lockonfora just hasn't had a great track record of late. But he is reporting that Antonio Brown has reiterated his trade demand to the Steelers through his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Now, Lock on Four are the only one reporting this at this point. This is not coming from Ian Rapoport of NFL Network or Adam Schefter of ESPN. So, as I said, take this one with a grain of salt. I'm not sure if this is 100% accurate. I understand where Lock on Four is coming from here as far as you hear what the Steelers, you hear the Steelers side and what they've said. And they came down very hard early. Tomlin's press conference, what Art Rooney had to say early on. I mean, they were very much in the camp of it's hard to see AB back with this team. But since then, you've seen the entire Steelers side kind of soften their stance a little bit. Certainly Art Rooney has softened his stance. You hear the players, guys like Cam Hayward, Marquise Pouncey, Juju, TJ Watt, all really leaving the door open for AB to return to the team. You know, like what AB did was wrong, but you know, we would love to have him back. He's a hard worker, great player. You know, we hope we can work this out, right? And so the Steelers seem to be softening their stance a little bit, but then you hear Antonio Brown and his side of it, and there isn't any sort of remorse there, right? There isn't any remorse from AB side. In fact, you know, he feels like there's, you know, his side of the story, and that he doesn't feel like he was in the wrong in that last week. And so it doesn't feel like these two sides are any closer to working this out. And we are just about a month and a half away from the start of the league year. And right around then is when AB is due his roster bonus. And so if the Steelers are going to trade Antonio Brown, it's going to happen in about the next month or so. It should happen in the next month or so if the Steelers want to maximize the cap value they can get out of AB. So I get where Lock and Four is saying in that way. You know, I don't know that AB has actually reiterated or I don't know that he's requested a trade at all. I know Lock and Four is reporting that. It seems, I will say this, from AB's side, I guess it wouldn't shock me if he did, because again, everything he's done from his side, you know, tweeting out the picture of him in a 49ers jersey, all the stuff with Jerry Rice, you know, this kind of flirtation with the 49ers when he talks about where he wants to play, you know, he takes a swipe at Art Rooney by saying all options are on the table and all that. It wouldn't surprise me that he has requested a trade, but again, being that Lock on Four is the only one that's reporting this, I would take this with a grain of salt. But as I said, you know, this trade, if it's coming, it's going to happen in the next month and a half. And so that brings us to our next report. And that report comes from TMZ. TMZ reporting that Antonio Brown involved in a domestic dispute back in January. They say that a woman contacted the Hollywood Police Department, that's near Miami, Florida, in mid-January, made a report alleging misconduct by Antonio Brown. No real details about what those allegations are, but the police did come out and tell TMZ that, quote, Mr. Brown was involved in a domestic dispute. No arrests were made. So, you know, if this could be a non-issue completely, this could be something further. We don't know at this point. As I said, there's really no details at all other than something happened. There was a domestic dispute. There were allegations made. The police investigated. No arrests. But that's really all we know at this point. Now, clearly not a good look for Antonio Brown, a guy who was, you know, back in April, involved in that incident where he threw furniture off the balcony of an apartment complex, nearly hit a 22-month-old child. You know, just that's its own incident. Now you have this. Now again, you know, no arrests were made here, so this could be a complete non-issue. In fact, AB's lawyer came out and pretty much said just that. He called the allegations, quote, baseless and false, and he also added that it's unfortunate that the media is trying to use distractions like this and prior stories in an effort to tarnish my client's name and reputation. We have no further comment. Again, you know, look, who knows what actually happened here? It's just not a good look for AB, and it's another incident for AB off the field. You've got, first of all, his problems on the field, and you've got his problems with not showing up. You got the problems with him throwing the furniture off the balcony. Now you've got this, and this may actually be a non-issue. Now, just because the police investigated and there's no arrest made, it doesn't really stop there for Antonio Brown in the NFL. Who knows what's going to happen from this further, and if there will be, you know, further investigation and maybe an arrest is made down the line. You know, again, can't say because there's no details about these allegations. But I will say this for Antonio Brown's future with the NFL. The NFL will do their own investigation here. The Steelers are going to do their own investigation. They already came out and issued that statement and said, we're doing our own investigation here. The NFL is going to do the same thing. And just because if it ends up that AB never gets arrested for this and nothing further happens with the police, that won't stop the NFL from doing their own investigation. And if they find some sort of wrongdoing in that way, they will suspend Antonio Brown. We've seen that in the past. Ezekiel Elliott got suspended for things like this. You know, look, the NFL takes this very, very seriously. And so in that way, when we talk about Antonio Brown and his trade value and all of that, I mean, this is clearly going to do no good for the Pittsburgh Steelers, both in the long run, if they want to keep Antonio Brown, because now they've got this hanging over him. You've also and then if they're going to trade him, whatever team is trading for Antonio Brown has this, and also the whole story of throwing furniture off the apartment, that's hanging over them as well. But overall, it's just hard to know what to make of this situation. You know, as I said, the police did their investigation here. No arrests were made. This could absolutely be a non-issue for AB, and you know, this becomes water under the bridge, you know, a month from now. Or this could turn into a much bigger story, especially as the NFL does their investigation. We'll have to wait and see here. But as I said, not a good look for Antonio Brown. Doesn't help AB, not going to help the Steelers in any way. And you know, if the Steelers are going to end up trading AB, this certainly is not going to help them get better trade value for him. You have to imagine, I mean, a first-round pick has got to be out of the, it's completely out of the question right now for AB. The real question here is, what is going on with AB in his personal life? You know, he's clearly not in his right mind. And I hope in that way, you know, we talked about this last week with the CTE thing. I hope that that is not the case. And I hope that AB can kind of straighten things out off the field, because, you know, between this, the incident with the furniture, the incident that whatever happened in December between he and the Steelers, you know, AB is clearly acting erratically over the past 9 months, let's say. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com, the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.